Get a bucket or something?
Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, gnarly.
What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, it's great to be here on Toker Talk Radio, hour two of the Marijuana Agenda, available on podcast exclusively for the patrons of the Marijuana Agenda. Go to mjagenda.com, click the Become a Patron button. For just $4.20 a month, you get a secret link that allows you to download this podcast. All right, so Toker Talk Radio, we loosen the tie, let down what's left of my hair, and just talk a little bit more about the marijuana politics of the day. Coming up in a later segment, we've got a new website to show you. Oh, my goodness. You remember Rob Campia from the Marijuana Policy Project? Well, he's got a website straight out of 1998. I'll explain later. It's funny maybe just to me. Anyway, we've also got something I want to talk about here, which is Insys Therapeutics. Remember Insys? Okay, so let me remind you, in case you've lost track. In 2016, of course, we had 9 states that were voting on marijuana reform, 5 voting for legalization, and only one of them lost, and that was Arizona. Arizona lost legalization. It was like 48.5%. They were close, but they lost. And Insys Therapeutics is this drug company in Phoenix, Arizona, and they donated $500,000 to oppose marijuana legalization. Big pharma company, $500,000 against marijuana legalization. They were like, they did $500,000, Discount Tire did $1 million, right? Why did Discount Tire not want legal weed, right? I don't know, but they fought against it too, right? But this Insys Therapeutics, what's especially galling about these guys is that they are a manufacturer of a fentanyl-based spray called Subsys. Now, Subsys is this sprayed under the tongue, and Subsys was specifically made, again, went through FDA approval, and the FDA approved it specifically for severe cancer pain. So this Arizona-based pharmaceutical company makes this fentanyl-based spray for cancer pain, right? Well, last year, you know, after Arizona had lost its marijuana legalization, thanks in part to this company donating $500,000 against it, that company, Insys, was embroiled in a scandal. The Department of Justice has charged its founder, John Kapoor, billionaire founder of this drug company, with fraud and racketeering. Now, what was it that John Kapoor was doing, as well as the CEO of the company and 5 other executives? They've also been charged in this. They pled guilty, I believe, and got a plea. But what was the whole scandal? Well, that Subsys, that fentanyl spray for cancer pain, Insys was paying kickbacks and bribes to doctors to prescribe this opiate, this fentanyl-based opiate, to people who did not have cancer pain. Off-label prescribing, as in, hey, the FDA never said you could do that. So, Insys. Now you're remembering, right? All right, so this Insys company, makers of Subsys, makers of this fentanyl that's killing people, and they were pumping it out. They were bribing doctors to have more people take it. This is not like 20 2002 or anything. This is last year. We're smack dab in the middle of a 60,000 person opioid overdose crisis. 60,000 so on deaths. And in the middle of that, they're pumping doctors to push it out more. Okay, so those guys, yeah, INSYS. Well, here's the latest on INSYS. Last year, the... by the way, I also have to add this part to it. INSYS came up with another drug. After they gave $500,000 to defeat marijuana legalization in Arizona, they proposed to the FDA a new drug, or to the DEA, I should say, a new drug that they're manufacturing called Syndros. Syndros is synthetic THC. That's right. The company that donated $500,000 to defeat marijuana legalization in Arizona wants to profit from a medical cannabinoid drug. And the DEA, unsurprisingly, granted them Schedule II status for that drug. They can sell their synthetic THC anywhere in America. But real THC can still get you a felony in Arizona, thanks to INSYS. Okay, so now you really remember, right? Yeah, those jerks. Oh, yeah. The guys pushing fentanyl. Oh, yeah, the hypocrites on THC. Well, now that you remember all that, now I can deliver the punchline on what they're up to lately. Well, the DEA recently came to a decision that, you know, the federal government's pot farm, the University of Mississippi, we've been suing for many years saying, look, you know, that's some shitty weed. We need other places to grow some weed. There ought to be more than one source for government weed. I mean, there's more than one source for government LSD. There's more than one source for government cocaine. You didn't know there was government LSD and government cocaine, did you? There is. You can study these things. They are Schedule 1 in the case of LSD, Schedule 2 in the case of cocaine, but there are procedures by which you can study these drugs, and you can get official samples from many different government licensed suppliers with DEA schedule licenses that can provide this. Only marijuana, only cannabis, is among the illicit drugs that has just one supply at the University of Mississippi's pot farm. Well, now they've decided that's not a good idea. Maybe we should open this up, and other companies ought to be able to supply, to grow cannabis and supply marijuana to the federal government. So guess which company has applied to be the next bulk supplier of marijuana to the federal government. If you said INSYS Therapeutics, you are right. Yay. Congratulations. You win. Can you believe the huevos rancheros on these guys? Oh my God. You're killing people with opioids. You fight marijuana legalization and then want to profit on synthetic THC. And now you want to be the government's weed grower. How do you walk with balls that big? I mean, they got to like be bumping your thighs, kind of, you know, getting in the way of your handbag and shit. Amazing. All right, folks, that's we're going to take a break. When we come back, Rob Campia's new website. Oh, it's a fun day today.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalruss. You're not high. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I reject the idea that we're going to be better placed if we have more marijuana.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
This is Radical Russ Belville with a word about stone driving. Numerous studies have shown Once you factor in age and gender, drivers with cannabis in their system have no statistically greater risk of motor vehicle crashes than sober drivers. But that doesn't mean you ought to be toking and driving. Those studies are referring to people with any amount of THC or metabolite in their system, not people who just smoked marijuana. Simulators and observed demonstrations show that cannabis consumers do develop a tolerance to the impairing effects of marijuana and can perform driving tasks within an acceptable margin of safety. However, infrequent and novice consumers do not and cannot, and would be wise to never toke and drive. Even regular cannabis consumers should exercise caution before deciding to drive, as most state laws punish drivers harshly if they're discovered to have marijuana in their system.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com. City of Portland permit number 17-159855.
Hello, Mr. Man.
Hi.
I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. So glad to have you here because going through my Facebook feed, and I'm friends with tons of people in the marijuana industry, and we're all having a good laugh over a new website that's been put out. As you know, Marijuana Policy Project founder Rob Campia stepped away from the organization as the scandal that beset him in 2010 reared its ugly head again in 2017 as we had the whole Me Too movement happening. And well, rather than have to deal with all the negative and nasty PR, he stepped away from the organization. And it took a few steps. He didn't immediately walk away. He kind of shifted himself laterally into a new position, and then he stepped away after that. But basically, the reading between the lines was MPP thinking that, hey, we gotta get this guy off the masthead, lest he drag us down like Harvey Weinstein. Or something like that, right? So, since then, Campy has moved on and started his own marijuana consulting thing. And the website for it, or at least his own website, has now been put out there. And the website can be found, if you want to look, you can find it at marijuanapolicy.expert. Marijuanapolicy.expert. And It's a competition, really. As you're looking at the website, it's a competition between what you find to be more funny, the sociopathic narcissism of it, or the 1990s web design of it. I mean, literally, folks, this website, it's got a cloudy kind of blue background, like an old, you remember when Microsoft Outlook used to have the stationary templates, and so the background would look like parchment or something? It's like that. It's like that. And in the corner of it, he's got a place where random quotes can pop up, right? Random quotes. Like, you might have a quote from, Martin Luther King, a quote from George Bush, whatever, right? But no, these are all quotes from him. His own quotes. And here's the one that just popped up when I pulled up the page. Quote, if it feels good, do it. Nah. If it makes sense, do it. End quote. Rob Campia during, his entire life. That's the insight. Or this other quote that came up. See if I can find some of this. To be free, you must live like you're free. Rob Campia, while chatting with a staffer for Congressman Ron Paul on Capitol Hill in January 1997. It's not even a public quote, right? Something he said in a chat with someone. Okay. What's the other one I liked in there? Let's see. Got to find it a little bit lower. Okay, here it is. Quote, I'm famous enough to have sex scandals, but not famous enough to actually have sex. Rob Campia joking about his opponents having pretend seizures in December 2017 over Rob's, quote, sex scandal in 2009, which was impotent even the first time it was covered. For those of you who don't know what the sex scandal we're talking about, it was covered by the Washington City paper. The article was called The Breast Massage Will Happen. So if you just Google that, Washington City paper, The Breast Massage Will Happen, it basically details the culture of sexual harassment and hostile work environment that MPP cultivated, that Rob Campia cultivated for years and years and years. Numerous women had to work under this disgusting situation. I know many of them personally, talked to the many of them personally on this issue, and it culminated in a situation where Rob took the staff out across the street to some bar, and then after everyone got drunk, Rob was being driven home with one of the staffers, female staffers. He decided she was too drunk to drive, so he drove and drove her not to her apartment, but to his apartment where they had sex. Of course, she's just a staffer. She's too drunk to drive, but apparently not so drunk she couldn't give consent. And she ended up being humiliated by this. She quit. A bunch of staffers also quit in protest. About half the board of MPP resigned over this. It was a big deal back then. And this was, remember, this was 2010. This was like 2009. This is before Me Too. This is before Harvey Weinstein, right? But once Me Too and Harvey Weinstein all popped up here in 2017, it resurfaced, and there was many people saying, yeah, nothing really changed. Rob was upset he got caught. and of course, he went to therapy, which was he went to a retreat to be treated for hypersexuality. And yeah, it was all fixed, right? Another quote, I might be the only person to have two sex scandals involving the same sexcapade. Rob Campia on 12/19/2017, after reading the Washington shitty papers retelling of his lovemaking that occurred 8 years prior. So this is marijuanapolicy.expert. Those quotes are sitting up in the top right corner of the 1990s Word stationary background. This is what he's presenting as a marijuana policy expert. Presenting to the world, here I am, a person who was a leader of the marijuana movement for years, someone who can fairly be said to have had a hand in legalization or medical marijuana in at least half the states that have done it. Gosh, aren't we proud to have him out there with his website out there like this? With all these quotes dismissing the concerns of the women, dismissing the concerns of the board, dismissing the concerns of the employees at the time, making light of sexual harassment in the age of Me Too. So, yeah, we're really excited about this website. Now, if that wasn't enough for you, though, the website also has a heading called Sexual Politics. And he actually writes some opinion blogs on sexual politics. Now, this is the guy who, in 2007, headed up a seminar that I attended in Washington, D.C. that was entitled Fundraising is Like Dating. And he had 19 points to explain how trying to get someone to fund your nonprofit was like trying to get a chick in the sack. Really, that's the way it read. You read this thing and you just kind of felt icky all over it. You're like, oh my God. Don't go after your, don't just treat your funder as a source of money. That's like treating a woman as just a sex object. There is so much in it, and I swear, I've got the folder somewhere. I found it once, and now I've lost it again, but it's somewhere in my box. It's somewhere in my garage. I still have the folder from 2007, and it's remarkable. It's just so, especially reading it now, in the context of Me Too, and more vigilant awareness that we have of these sexual politics issues. So when we come back from break, we'll look into marijuanapolicy.expert on sexual harassment, his opinions on that
subject. If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana
quite interesting.
Work freedom. You need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
So sad to have a president who thinks like that again, isn't it? All right, that sound means it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. Today's safety briefing, brought to you by Concept Distro. I love this little vaporizer. Check that out. It's magnetic, folks. Little vape cartridge goes in there magnetically.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Okay, maybe you're a little high. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Great. Drugs make me strong. Drugs make me smart. Drugs make me feel good. Drugs make me cool.
You believe that crap? Huh? You believe all that stuff they're handing you about drugs? You want to believe in something? How about yourself? Don't do drugs.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Young people, many of them that get into heroin, methamphetamines, and a lot of other things, begin not only with marijuana but by addiction.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Sienna, jag heter David, PKA Dirtball. Vi ska röka hela tiden, alla år.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, so we were discussing the website of the former head of Marijuana Policy Project, Rob Campia. You can find it at marijuanapolicy.expert. And the part I want to focus on now is the sexual politics part, because it's an interesting look inside this guy's head, right? And basically, I think he thinks of himself as persecuted. I think he thinks he was unfairly persecuted. He's just simply a hypersexual guy. Just likes to get it on. Just a freewheeling libertarian, let's have some fun and party type of fella. And now the PC police and leftists and all this terrible activism has conspired to tear him down. He saw it in the quotes I mentioned. I'm the only guy to have had a one sexcapade lead to two sex scandals. Oh, no. The typical reaction of a narcissist refusing to take any responsibility for his own actions, for his own behavior, that, believe me, lots of us in the marijuana movement were well aware of, and we should have done more. Let's hold ourselves accountable there, too. It was remarkable to me that he was able to get away with it, first of all. That his punishment was just, as it was a three-month hiatus. And then he came back, like, as if nothing happened, as if it was no big deal, as if that he was somebody that we should have on television representing us as cannabis consumers, as people seeking our civil rights. Somebody here who's got this predatory type of behavior. So it's interesting with that background and these quotes of his in the blue heading of his website, poor me, the person who is busted for being masculine. So you read these couple of posts. He's got two posts up under sexual politics on his marijuana policy.expert, right? So here's one. And it's about Nikki Haley. Now, Nikki Haley is the current UN ambassador and former governor of South Carolina. And it has to do with a story about, you know, Michael Wolff and his book Fire and Fury, intimating that she spends a lot of time alone with Trump. So they must be doing it, right? And so Campia has to call this out as being unfair. And this is what he writes. These last two paragraphs, which I think in the context of knowing who he is, are very telling. Quote, accuse your target of sexual misdeeds now and let others ask questions later. It's fine if you move on and start manufacturing your next story because you'll receive your commission, money, and enjoy thousands of new blog readers, money, whether or not your accusation is true. And if you're a reporter rather than a politician or activist, people probably won't raise questions about your sex life, so there's no downside. Except the possibility of becoming irrelevant later, in which case you should push the pendulum to the other side and accidentally release private video footage of your own lovemaking. What the fuck is this? Okay, so, again, reading between the lines, Campia seems to think that people just accused him of these misdeeds out of whole cloth, out of thin air, that nothing was wrong with the way that Marijuana Policy Project was run. Nothing was wrong with the culture of sexual harassment, with saying things like the breast massage will happen and remarking on how hot a certain person would look or how bangable somebody else was. Nothing to see here. Move along. No story, right? And I love the little threats here. People were only blogging about it to make money, to get readers on their blog. That's it. Couldn't be people had some concern about the women that worked there. Couldn't be that people were friends with people who worked there, knew this stuff was going on, knew that there are precious few jobs in marijuana reform, less than 100 probably, well, maybe more now, but at that time, very few full-time jobs to be had. A lot of people not in a position to be able to say anything to rock the boat and potentially lose their job. Those people, he says, should make their own sex tapes and release them. Wow. And then the other one, the other post he's got up under sexual politics is using women as sexual weapons against Steve Wynn or any political opponent you want to target. Steve Wynn, the billionaire casino developer in Vegas, a divorce battle with his wife, has been accused of some sexual assault problems. So, again, Campia comes to the defense of him and Dominique Strauss-Kahn. But here's the, you know, reading these quotes, basically, you know, thinking about his background, here's a couple paragraphs that just kind of make your skin itch. If your political opponent is male, find a woman who could have reasonably spent a few minutes in private with the male, ask her to report an attempted or actual sexual assault, and if you need to ensure that her duplicity lasts more than a few days, which isn't even needed in many cases, give her some money in order to ensure that she doesn't out herself and you as self-interested liars. Basically, you know, saying that these women who come forward with sexual assault reports, not all, but he just intimating that they're making it up. He continues, "The aforementioned political strategy works whether or not the woman's identity is revealed, but media outlets almost always protect the identities of women who make sexual allegations, therefore providing a huge incentive for women to make sexual allegations for financial and or political benefit. As a libertarian, I'm not calling for laws that would tie the hands of reporters, but responsible news outlets should voluntarily agree to reveal the identities of both the accuser and the accused, or the identities of neither." Wow. So, knowing what we know about how difficult it is for women to report, how women have been discussing and talking about this for years and years and years, only to be told they're making it up, they're overreacting, they just need to go along to get along. Campy wants to make it harder. Campy wants rape victims, sexual assault victims, to be named. Wow. Just wow, man. And you can find this all. I'm not making it up. It's all at marijuanapolicy.expert. Feel free to leave some comments because I doubt mine will stay up there. Anyway, that's about all the time I want to spend on that today because, again, makes my skin crawl. I mean, I've met a lot of people in the movement, and it's also interesting because I met a lot of people back in my days playing music in bars. I think, you know, it actually was a really good training ground because I met a lot of psychos. I met a lot of psychos in bars, sociopaths, psychopaths, full-blown wackaloons, addicts of every stripe. And the funny thing is, in my 50 years around this planet, is I found that that type of insanity, that type of narcissistic looking out for number one, gotta beat everyone else, they're out to get me, I've got to do better, they're gonna get me, I gotta do better, I'm better than them, those kind of mentalities oftentimes lead to the criminal side, oftentimes lead to the mental illness side, to being asocial. But every so often, the right combination of those characteristics lead to millions, lead to power. It's the Nixons, right? These type of people who have this craven need for power and a remarkable narcissism and an inability to empathize with others, which would be detrimental to just about anybody else. Sometimes in some people are in mixed in just the right degree that it leads to great success. I believe it's hard to find, say, a billionaire who isn't evil in some sort of way. I think it's hard to find a president, a politician, anyone with great power. I think chances are against them being good. I think the qualities you need to have to rise to the top sometimes, especially in a capitalist system, are the kind of qualities that aren't necessarily good in a person. Maybe I'm getting more pessimistic as I get older. Maybe this is darkness creeping in on my worldview. But I think it's more likely than not when you find someone in power that there's just something wrong with them. I'd hope not. I hope that we have more good leaders, good people out there. But it's difficult. It's difficult to find. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, more from the latest in marijuana news from all around the country. We're taking a look here in Oregon, where you can get yourself a $40 ounce, legal, with tax, tested, inspected, and smokable. Tell you more about it when we return.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
new beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Say, man, you got a joint?
No, not on me, man.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Learn more at mjagenda.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah Frank. Join me on Saturday, April 14th for the third annual Boise Hemp Fest at the Julia Davis Park Bandshell in downtown Boise. Join us at Hemp Fest as we educate and entertain the people of Idaho about medical marijuana, industrial hemp, and all the amazing realities about cannabis. We'll have excellent bands, knowledgeable speakers, informative booths, and even a supervised children's play area called Kidland. The Boise Hemp Fest is Saturday, April 14th and begins at 10 a.m. and runs until dark. Visit BoiseHempFest.org today.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barack has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everyone. 36 after the hour, and I gotta say that one of my favorite things about marijuana legalization, aside from not being handcuffed over it, is the way it lowers prices. We are living in a wonderful era now of marijuana legalization here in the state of Oregon, where it is very common to find marijuana quality, top shelf marijuana in the low $100 ranges. But what about your bargain basement weed? Well, our friend Johnny Green out at weednews.co has a piece up about an Oregon dispensary that's selling $40 ounces of flower. $40 ounces. Now, he says it's mid-grade. It says definite mids. It's coming in at 14.13% THC, or as I'd like to say, 14% THC. It's actually $33.33 an ounce, but you add the $6.67 in tax, and that brings it up to $40. So a $40 ounce, and the pictures he's got out at weednews.co show some pretty decent weed. Now, it's outdoor grown. It's well manicured, very nuggly, nug-looking weed, but $40 an ounce. Now, some folks are like, yeah, that's mid-grade, that's outdoor, but here's the thing that I also appreciate about marijuana legalization, and that is you don't always have to get the super sticky, icky, chronic weed. You can just have mid-grade weed. We've got jars of it here at the house that we've grown outdoors that are in the teens, the mid to upper teens in THC potency, that I just love to smoke. This is, you know, under prohibition, you've got something that's called the Iron Law of Prohibition. Richard Cowan, a former director of Normal, coined this. The Iron Law of Prohibition. Basically what it says is that when you prohibit a drug, you just make it stronger. And you make not just the drug stronger, but the traffickers stronger. It's kind of a natural selection on the trafficker side, right? As you prohibit that drug, the people who are bad at smuggling it, bad at hiding it, bad at making sure they're keeping it secret, those guys get put in jail. And the ones that are left are like the penicillin-resistant superbugs, right? They've evolved to avoid getting caught. So you make stronger traffickers, and they come up with better trafficking routes. They come up with more secure trafficking routes. They can come up with better methods of producing their drug. We wouldn't have 30% THC weed today if marijuana hadn't been prohibited. Maybe we would, but it wouldn't have developed as quickly. We were forced. The pressure forced us to evolve, forced us to take it indoors, to come up with high-pressure sodium lights, to come up with all sorts of techniques for cultivation and crossbreeding that made it the weed that we enjoy today. And that potency goes up because in a prohibited market, you've got a limited amount of space to smuggle and hide your product. This happened during alcohol prohibition. You got the Studebaker and you want to stash some hooch in there. Are you going to stash casks of wine? Are you going to stash kegs of beer? Or are you going to stash bottles of liquor? You're going to stash the liquor because you can get more for a bottle of liquor than you can get for a pint of beer. And America's drinking habits changed during Prohibition. We went from being a nation of people that drank cider, wine, and beer to a nation of people that started drinking whiskey and scotch and bourbon. So the Prohibition makes the drug stronger, and that's what's happened with marijuana as well. And it also leads to consumers and sellers being forced into the highest potencies. Back in my days in Idaho, when I would have to buy a bag of weed and it cost $300 for an ounce, if you wanted to get a good ounce, an ounce of really quality marijuana for $300, you wanted to make sure it was the most potent marijuana possible because you had to make that shit last. You didn't know when you're going to find your guy again. And the guy, from his perspective, the seller, he wants to make sure he's got the most potent weed to sell. Because that's the only way he can promote his brand. He can't go and advertise on the billboard a special or what particular selection he's got. Can't have a list on Yelp, you know, to find out who's got the best weed. So he's got to have the best weed. He's got to only rely on word of mouth. And what's going to get the most word of mouth is weed that knocks you on your ass. So for years, people have been smoking stronger and stronger and stronger marijuana. Not necessarily because they wanted to, but because that's the way the market was built under prohibition. But now under legalization, we find a greater breadth of marijuana products being enjoyed, a greater breadth of potencies being enjoyed. Yeah, you can go to the dispensary, you can go to the pot shop, get your top shelf flower for $15 a gram if you want it, $12 a gram, whatever, $10 maybe. But a lot of folks are fine with the $5 a gram weed. A lot of us just want that relaxation without the heavy stoniness. A lot of us don't want to be couch locked through the day. A lot of us work 10, 12 hour days and can't be couch locked. And so now, with the advent of the $40 weed, the advent of the $40 ounce, we get that. We get that now. Now, the other side of this argument comes from people who've established themselves in what was an illegal market, what was a world where a $300 ounce made sense, now find themselves scrambling to figure out how they're going to adjust, how they're going to make it in a world where the wholesale price of weed is dropping below $500 a pound. And it's unfortunate because it's not something that was unpredictable. Anybody and everybody could predict that once you legalize marijuana, it was going to get a whole lot cheaper. That's just the nature of the business, given that there's no more prohibition risk. There's no more worry about losing your kids and your stuff and your home and your freedom for growing some plants. It's the nature of change. And what I worry about now is that from the left or from the green side of the equation, the growers being against the price of weed falling so much that they start calling for plant canopies or restrictions on licenses. And then from the other side of the equation, the other side of the ledger, the people who are against weed being upset that the price is getting so low because that'll encourage more people to use it and that'll drop the tax revenues that they're getting because they're still based on price. We could, as consumers, be squeezed from both sides. From the pro-marijuana side wanting to keep their livelihood and from the anti-marijuana side wanting to keep their tax revenues. This is the Faustian bargain we made when we started saying tax and regulate, tax and regulate. Like, oh, now they're going to be addicted. They were addicted to the money they could make incarcerating people. Now they're going to be addicted to the money they can make from taxing people. And as more legalization happens and those prices keep declining, we're going to hear more calls for artificial price supports to keep the price high. Already you hear it from guys like Jonathan Calkins, guys that are calling for nonprofits only to run the marijuana business and strict licensing and restrictions and limitations on potency. And my problem with that, of course, is any artificial price restriction or price support you put on cannabis is just a profit margin for the black market. Whatever you set it at, you set the marijuana tax at 10%. Huh, there's 9% the black market can charge and make as pure profit. It's just anathema to our final goal of freedom for everyone, of this plant being as open and accessible to anyone as cinnamon or marjoram or cilantro or corn. It's just another crop. It's just another plant. But have we gone so accustomed to it being so expensive from both sides that we're unable to let it drop to the price it should be? I mean, the price of marijuana, the price of cannabis, if it were treated as a leaf crop, it were completely legal, growing in multi-acre farms and harvested with modern equipment, it shouldn't cost more than tobacco. It shouldn't cost more than tea. I mean, we're talking about $40 ounces and being so excited about it. We should be looking at $4 ounces. We should be looking at $40 pounds. I mean, this is a weed. This is a weed. It ought to be cheap, 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 and super plentiful. And the other part that frustrates me about it is when I look at things from the opponent's side, I can't help but think that what they want would be best accomplished by having weed be as cheap and accessible as possible. Having it no longer be forbidden fruit. Having it no longer be scarce. Having it no longer have such a profit motive that people are willing to shoot each other over it. You want to reduce the violence associated with the drug trade? Make it not worth fighting over anymore. You don't see shootouts between Dos Equis and Corona in the streets of Matamoros. No, Dos Equis and Corona can take each other to court if they have to. This is the ultimate conundrum of marijuana legalization in my mind, and this is why this is an exciting time in the process of marijuana legalization, because we're at that tipping point of, are we going to go full capitalism on this? Are we going to go full capitalism on marijuana legalization and thereby crash the price of it? Or are the nannies on the left and the Puritans on the right going to form a coalition to artificially restrict the development of the cannabis market? Are they going to put regulators on it, like regulating a diesel engine, right? Are they going to keep us from accelerating this to where it should be? I think that's in grave danger of happening. I'm seeing a lot of the signs of it already. And as we start moving into these legislative states, the New Jerseys, the Connecticuts and Rhode Islands and these states, the legislatures are going to have to pass legalization. I fear we're going to see it. We're going to see a patchwork of marijuana legalization states, much like we see a patchwork of medical marijuana states. And much like medical marijuana, we're going to see the legalization get more and more and more restrictive in state after state. It's going to be the legalization box canyon. We're going to be seeing less freedom as we move along, not more. But we'll get it where it needs to be eventually. Because after a few decades, most of the Puritans will die out. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with another segment right after this.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
You're not high. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We've turned the corner on drug addiction in the United States. Drug addiction in the United States is under control.
Okay, maybe you're a little high. Despite what you may have heard, CBD is not, quote, legal in all 50 states. The DEA is quite clear that cannabidiol is a Schedule I controlled substance banned in all 50 states. Think about it. Why would 17 states pass laws legalizing CBD, and why would there be three bills in Congress to legalize CBD federally if CBD were already legal in all 50 states?
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z. Cannabis Kamikaze.
Of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 51 after the hour, and a quick reminder that next weekend, I will be in Boise, Idaho, the land of my birth, April 14th for the Boise Hemp Fest. That's right, heading out to Boise, going to do the Hemp Fest. I am MC of the Boise Hemp Fest this year, so I'll be on stage all day. If you are in the Boise area, come on by all day at Julia Davis Park. Saturday, April 14th, we will be there. Take a break from doing your taxes. Come on out to the Boise Hemp Fest. But whatever you do, do not bring any weed. Telling you, folks, Boise, don't mess around. Idaho, don't mess around. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, speaking of funny-shaped panhandle states that have hemp fests... There's an obscure segue, huh? Speaking of those, I will be in Oklahoma, which is Idaho flipped over and rotated. I will be in Oklahoma. And there's actually a Boise City, Oklahoma. Did you know that? Yeah, it's out there on the panhandle. Boise City, Oklahoma. Anyway, I will be in Oklahoma City. Is it Oklahoma City? Yeah, I'll be in Oklahoma City. Actually, at the I-44 Riverside Speedway. In September, it's September 7th, 8th, and 9th for the inaugural Oklahoma Hemp Fest. That's right, folks. Oklahoma is going to have a hemp fest. And what's going to be fun about this is that this June is when Oklahoma votes on its question 288, which is its medical marijuana law. That's a pretty expansive medical marijuana law for, you know, especially for Oklahoma, but for anybody, really. And it's likely to pass. It's most likely going to pass. So when we do this hemp fest in September, this first ever hemp fest, we're going to be in a medical marijuana state doing it. So that's going to be pretty exciting. Check that out. Oklahoma Hemp Fest. I think it's .com. And both the Boise Hemp Fest and the Oklahoma Hemp Fest are officially licensed by Seattle Hemp Fest. In fact, the Oklahoma Hemp Fest is being headed up by a friend of ours named Scott, who formerly had Cavi Gold Records. You remember to talk about Cavi Gold Records and the Cavi Gold stage out at Seattle Hemp Fest? Well, he's got now High Tunes, I guess is what it's called. And he's from Oklahoma. And so he's heading back home to head up this Oklahoma Hemp Fest. So I'm excited to be a part of that. Tim Mee is going to be there as well. We'll get Tim on the show one of these days, and we'll discuss it a little further. But I'll be recording at all these events, and I'll bring you as much of the coverage as I can. In May, I will be here in Portland at the Global Cannabis March. My first time marching in Portland since, I think, 2011 or 12, maybe. One of these years I marched. But I've been going to Dallas lately. But this year, since I'm going to Oklahoma City, I decided to stay in Portland for May. So we'll be in May. All right, in Portland on the first weekend of May. Remember, the first Saturday in May, all around the world, is the Global Cannabis March. So if you want to be a part of that, just get involved. It's a lot of fun. And we'll kill that, because I don't know why that's going off again. Having some problems with my programming. I got to figure that out. In June, there is an event I'll be taking part in as a benefit for the Portland Hemp Stock, trying to bring Portland Hemp Stock back. Doesn't look like anything happening in July. And then, of course, August, we've got the Seattle Hemp Fest, the granddaddy of them all. So I'll be doing three hemp fests this year, Boise, Seattle, and Oklahoma. If you'd like to learn more about what's happening with me and where I'm headed, you can find all this stuff at the website, RadicalRust.com, which is where you can also find my writing and links to the charts and the data that I put together. Most especially, the most recent one, the Monitoring the Future data, is now up. All the drug use data for 8th, 10th, and 12th graders, lifetime, annual, monthly, and daily, 1975 through 2017 in 54 drug categories, all available for VIP subscribers, $9.99 a month and up. So check it out at mjagenda.com, become a patron, or follow the links from the posts at radicalrus.com. All right, so as we wind up the show, we're just closing out for this wonderful week, this first week of April. And we've got all sorts of interesting things happening, lots of bills that we're following. And I'd encourage you, if you're interested in what's happening on a legislative basis, you can't find a better resource than MarijuanaMoment.net. MarijuanaMoment.net, Tom Angel, longtime friend of the show, former SSDP, former LEAP, former Massroots, current writer with Forbes. He's doing it all. He's got Marijuana Majority going on as well. About the only person I can think of in the marijuana movement busier than me. Anyway, he's got a great feature now on the Marijuana Moment site. For $25 donors to his site, you get access to his legislative tracking tools. And he has got like hundreds, like 700 bills from state legislators. I think he's even got the territories in there, like Guam. And you can look up any bill, find out what's going on in your state, what legislators you need to contact. If you want to be a marijuana activist, but you don't want to leave the couch, here's how you can do it. Get on your laptop, get on your iPad, get on your phone, whatever you got to do. Go to marijuanamoment.net, sign up at $25 a month or more, get these legislative tracking tools, and start calling your legislators. You can't overemphasize how important this is. When you call them, they think something's up, because most people don't call them. If they get two or three calls on the same subject in a week, they get really like, oh, hey, what the hell's going on? There's a groundswell. It doesn't take much. You can make it a part of your routine, and you don't have to necessarily get them on the phone. Get their staffer on the phone. Say, hey, I'm calling Congressman's office here. I'm a constituent. I'm calling because I support the legalization of marijuana. I would encourage the congressman to look into bill HR, whatever it is, HR Puff and stuff. That'd be a great bill, wouldn't it? an act for Puffin Stuff. The Puffin Stuff Act of 2018. Who's with me, ladies and gentlemen? But I'm seriously, call your congressman, call your state officials, let them know there's people out there, and be calm and be respectful and be articulate and intelligent about it. Don't be a jerk. Don't make us look bad. But let them know. Let them know you're out there. Let them know you care about this issue. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for today. It's been a good one. Be back next week with more news and views you can use for the cannabis community. For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Check me out at RadicalRuss.com. Check out Delta9House.com if you'd like to visit. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you